Podcast Network Asia.
This episode may include topics, references, or discussions around sexual assault, domestic violence, stalking, physical violence, or subject matters that may be disturbing to some of our listeners. We do acknowledge that this content may be difficult. We also encourage you to care for your safety and well-being.
Listening to a special Halloween theme season of the Last 24 Hours podcast, where we feature some of your favorite scary movies based on true crime. Welcome to the final episode, and we've saved the ghostliest story for last, The Legend of the White Lady. Now, you'll be forgiven for thinking that the phenomenon of the White Lady is a uniquely Philippine occurrence, but as you'll discover in our feature, the White Lady is a global figure of horror. From Germany, New York, to Mexico. There's a white lady story lurking around in a tattered white dress and creepy black hair to scare people witless, along with stories of murder, madness, and heartbreak. This time, we'll look into the 2019 horror movie, The Curse of the La Llorona, considered to be the sixth installment in the Conjuring universe and produced by Conjuring director James Wan. The movie stars Linda Cardellini as Ana Garcia, a single mother fighting a paranormal battle to save her children from a malignant entity called La Llorona, the Weeping Woman.
Your children,
Vincent,
are safe now. But have they heard her crying? Have they felt the sting? Of her tears? They will. And she will come for them. Who? La Llorona.
In the movie, the character of Father Perez, who's also in the movie Annabelle, reveals the story of the La Llorona to Anna, after she and her children begin experiencing frightening visions and encounters with the relentless spirit. He explains that the La Llorona was a woman in Mexico during the 1600s who murdered her two young children in a vengeful rage after discovering that her husband had been cheating on her. Stricken with guilt and sorrow over what she has done, the woman drowns herself in the same river where she killed her sons, condemning herself to eternal sorrow and a malevolent existence where she's forever trying to somehow find the children that she lost, which, in this case, is Anna's two young kids. Although it did poorly among critics, the movie was a box office success, making $123.1 million worldwide when it only cost $9 million to make. At its debut at the South by Southwest Film Festival, organizers even conducted a spiritual cleansing ritual so that the spirit of the La Llorona will not follow any of the viewers. Is it a clever marketing gimmick? Considering the cast and crew's creepy experiences during the production of the movie, perhaps not. According to director Michael Chavez, there were some eerie supernatural occurrences during the shoot, with half the crew swearing that the set is haunted. Patricia Velasquez, the actress who played the other besieged mother in the movie, revealed in an interview that the La Llorona was probably there, just to make sure that the crew was doing right by her story. The actress grew up in Mexico, where generations of Mexican children grew up fearing the La Llorona. It's how our parents made us do what they wanted, she claimed. The lore is hundreds of years old, 500 to be exact. According to Carmen Tafola, the president of the Texas Institute of Letters, stories of the weeping lady going down the streets of Mexico City were being reported more than a decade before the Spaniards arrived in the country in 1519. They were part of the omens reported by the theological advisors to Emperor of Montezuma Xocoyotzin that set him on edge, worried that bad news was coming. This is documented in the histories of the Aztec Empire. The movie's origin story is not far off from the original legend, but it has evolved over the years. Some versions claim that when the soul of La Llorona arrived at Heaven's Gates, she was refused entry and banished to purgatory on Earth until she could find the children she killed. Some stories claim that she roams near any body of water in the dark, weeping and kidnapping children who misbehave, while some stories say that she attacks unfaithful husbands. Whatever the variation, some things remain the same, and it begins with a mother named Maria. According to the lore, Maria was a beautiful but very vain woman who married a rich man. The couple were blessed with two children, but after a few happy years together, the marriage begins to crack. The husband starts to spend less time at home, and when he does, he ignores Maria and spends time with the children instead. One day, while walking with the children, Maria spots her husband with another woman. In rage, she decides to take away his two precious children by throwing them in a nearby river. As she watches her children plunge deeper into the river, she immediately regrets what she's done and tries to rescue them, but it's too late. Tormented by what she's done, Maria drowns herself and is buried in the village the next day. Later that night, villagers start hearing the sound of a woman crying, with some claiming that they could hear the woman asking, "Where are my children?" Then, sightings of an eerie figure in a long white robe begin to spread among the community. Reportedly, her mournful figure would be spotted lurking along the river, wearing the same funeral clothes as Maria. It's not clear if Maria is an actual real-life person, given how far back the story goes, but the crime of filicide is a very real thing. Filicide is the deliberate act of a parent killing their own child, and some of the most notorious cases are so shocking, they're beyond comprehension. Let me tell you about a few of them. In 1983, Diane Downs, a 27-year-old divorced postal service worker, told police that a bushy-haired stranger flagged down her car and shot her three children on a back road near Springfield, Oregon. Her 7-year-old daughter, Cheryl, was dead on arrival at the hospital, and her other children, 8-year-old Christy and 3-year-old Danny, were clinging to life. For the police, Down's story, however, did not add up. After a thorough investigation, it was discovered that Downs had an obsession with a married man who did not want her children. 9 months after the shooting, she was arrested and charged with murder and attempted murder of her own children. In October 1994, Susan Smith drowned her two young sons by buckling them in their car seats and then pushing the car in a South Carolina lake. The car sank with the children asleep in the back. Smith initially told the police that a black man had hijacked her car and abducted the children. Authorities and private citizens desperately searched for the boys for 9 days before Smith confessed that she killed her sons, 3-year-old Michael and 14-month-old Alex. Finally, in June 2001, Andrea Yates, a former nurse, methodically drowned her 5 children in the bathtub of their Houston home. Yates told the police and psychiatrists that Satan ordered her to kill her children, 7-year-old Noah, 5-year-old John, 3-year-old Luke, and 6-month-old daughter Mary, to save them from eternal damnation. In taped evaluations of Yates released in 2006, she recalled details of the morning she murdered her kids, describing how she waited until her husband left to start filling the tub. Drowning them, she said, was all I thought about. Unlike the La Llorona, however, these women are not waiting around like a banshee in the dark to scare you to death or lurk around your children in the bath waiting to drown them. At least that's what it's like in the movie. Real or not, there are reported sightings of the La Llorona all over the world. According to RadioTimes.com, people in Isla La Muñecas in Mexico repeatedly tell stories of hearing phantom wailing in the area. Incidentally, the island is also popular for the many creepy dolls that hang from trees and buildings, meant to chase away evil spirits. Definitely putting that place on my no-go list. Specific places in Texas and Arizona has been named after her because of apparent sightings, while amateur paranormal investigators have uploaded their spooky encounters with the La Llorona on YouTube.
Hi, dear listener. My name is Christine Abrigana, and I've just started a podcast that covers true crime cases from all over Asia. It is called Asia in the Shadows, a true crime podcast. Ever heard of the 8 Immortal Restaurant Massacre of Macau? Or the pop star turned killer from Malaysia? Or perhaps the mysterious death of a Maldivian model with blue eyes in Bangladesh? If not, then make sure to tune in to Asia in the Shadows, a true crime podcast where I will be sharing 3 stories every month on a Wednesday about the most jarring crimes in Asia. For more information, make sure to follow us on Instagram at AITSpod. See you soon.
In the Philippines, our own version of the La Llorona is the White Lady, colloquially known as Caperosa. The White Lady is one of the most popular creatures in Philippine folklore. Even though we commonly associate her with a particular area, the bad news is the White Lady can actually show up anywhere. She's been sighted in rural areas, poorly lit streets, deserted old houses, and school buildings. Often, she's a faceless creeping phantom in a long white gown which, depending on the region or the source, is either bridal or a sleeping gown. How she came to be also varies. In most versions, the White Lady is the ghost of someone who was killed in the place where she haunts, a restless soul doomed to roam the earth until she finds justice for her death. Other versions claim that she's searching for her lost children, husbands, or lovers, while some regard her appearance as an omen of death, something that you see just before you die. Regardless of which version of the White Lady you're familiar with, I'm pretty sure you're most familiar with the White Lady of Balete Drive in Quezon City. Curiously, some of the most commonly associated stories with this particular version reads like a true crime horror novel. In one version, a long-haired woman had died in a car accident while driving along Balete Drive. In others, she was the victim of a hit-and-run and the driver was never caught. One other variation claimed that she's a student of the University of the Philippines who was sexually assaulted by a taxi driver and her body presumably dumped on the street. Some say that she was a resident of the area, was allegedly abused and mistreated by her family or husband. One night, she escaped but was run over by a passing vehicle as she called for help. In another version, she was found by the family who had kept her captive and dragged her back home before eventually killing her. This is the spirit that now haunts Balete Drive, a ghost that demands justice from motorists or pedestrians. Whatever version you're familiar with, we all just want to know, is the White Lady real? An article by Neil H. Cruz on the Philippine Daily Inquirer offers a few intriguing first-hand accounts. In the mid-50s, Cruz tells the story of his first assignment as a journalist for the Manila Chronicle. This was apparently during the height of her popularity, when the latest sighting of the White Lady of Balete Drive came from no less than the captain of the Quezon City Police Department. According to the police captain, he was driving his police car on Balete Drive when he spotted a woman trying to hitch a ride. She was all dressed in white. Because the street was dark and she was on her own, he worried that she could be held up, raped, or worse, killed. He stopped and asked her where she was going. The woman asked the officer if he could drop her off at the corner of España Extension, where she could easily get a ride home. He told her to get in, and she got into the back seat. Guess what happened when he got to España Extension? When he turned around to tell her that they've reached their destination, she was gone. Neil Cruz asked him if it was perhaps possible that she slipped out as soon as she got in, and the captain replied the doors were locked. He also insisted that they were locked when he checked at España. Curiously, Cruz writes that he was able to track down a woman who claimed to be a close friend of the White Lady when she was alive. The woman claimed that their friend was killed in an accident on Balete Drive. Unfortunately, there were no witnesses, and the culprit was never caught. With few clues into the incident, the police closed the case. Maybe she wants her killer caught, the friend said to Cruz, adding that perhaps her soul cannot rest until her killer is brought to justice. But what about modern sightings? Is the white lady still relevant and scary in this hyper-stimulated TikTok dancing gadget-obsessed generation? A story from an exhaustive feature on the white lady from the website exemplar.com details a story that came out in 2018. Allegedly, a white lady was captured on cell phone by a Patrice Camille Alvarez, and the photo is simply bone-chilling. The story goes that Patrice was traveling from Lucena on the old zigzag road in Atimon and Quezon, you know, the one called Bituhang Manok. It's midnight when they notice something creepy about the vehicle in front of them. With their headlights directed at a small light vehicle in front of them, they noticed a passenger at the back, a girl in white with black shoulder-length hair, sitting in the middle, facing the front. Patrice said that their driver was so freaked out that he decided to slow down to let the truck move further away. Looking at the photo, I can't blame him. There's something about that girl sitting alone in the back of the truck that feels unnatural, unsettling. It almost feels like she will turn around to face you, and when she does, it will be the last terrifying thing you'll see. Whether she's based on a real person or not, there's one thing we know for sure. The fear she elicits is very, very real. Even as the La Llorona and the White Lady are supernatural creatures, the events that led to her creation are rooted in real-world circumstances. Sometimes, it reminds us of a place or a moment so familiar and so close to real life that it's easy for her to slip in and occupy a space in our thoughts. When that happens, it will be too late to escape her. You've just listened to the final episode of a special Halloween-themed season of The Last 24 Hours podcast, where we explored some of your favorite scary movies based on true crime. If you haven't already, check out the rest of this spooky season on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you get your podcast fix. Follow us on Facebook at Historia Ni Jet and on Instagram at The Last 24 Hours Podcast to get the latest updates on new episodes or to say hello. I'll do my best to get back to you.
The views and opinions expressed by the podcast creators, hosts, and guests do not necessarily reflect the official policy and position of Podcast Network Asia, the hosts of the program, or other programs of the network. Any content provided by the people on the podcast are of their own opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, ethnic group, club, organization, company, individual, or anyone or anything.